Amen. Amen. It's good to be here this morning. Amen. I was telling Pastor Iman's family a joke last night. There was a husband and his wife driving down the road, and they got in a fight, and they were resolved not to get it right with each other. And they were driving down a farm road, and they looked over and seen a barn full of animals, and the husband said to his wife, he said, "Relatives of yours?" And she said, "Yeah, my in-laws." And amen. If you come and fight this morning, hey, get it right before you leave church. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to be here. Just appreciate the hospitality of Pastor Iman and Faith Baptist Church. We've been over in the church house. It's been such a blessing. Just the hospitality y'all show. And it's good to be back. Amen. A lot of faces, a lot of friends. I just appreciate a lot of y'all. Y'all have been a huge encouragement in my life throughout the years. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 2. While you turn to Matthew chapter 2, there was a funeral service that was being held in a small town, a funeral parlor for a woman who had just passed away. And at the end of the service, the pallbearers are carrying the casket out. And when they accidentally bumped into a wall and shook the casket, hearing a faint moan, they opened the casket and found out that the woman was actually alive. For 10 more years, the woman enjoyed good health and then suddenly died. A ceremony is again held at the same funeral parlor. At the end of the ceremony, the pallbearers are again carrying out the casket. And as they make their way toward the door, the husband cries out, "Watch out for the wall." amen. I tell you what. I love my wife. I hope if I had her for 10 more years, amen, I'd want her to be there, amen. Amen. But I'm glad to hear, amen, that all my condolences to our lady that died. But she's in heaven, amen. That's the blessing of it all. That's the blessing of all. And I say that as a joke. I don't mean to make fun of anybody, amen. Matthew chapter 2, if you have your Bible, we'll start reading. And verse 1, that's in the New Testament, amen, if you're wondering where Matthew chapter 2 is, amen. It's good to be back, good to see friends, family. Y'all are my family, amen. Amen. My family moved out of the state when I moved out, shortly after I moved out, but I consider this church a lot of my family. Amen. What's that?
How long were you here?
I was here from the time I was 18, and I moved away when I was 23. And we've been up there since 2014, so amen. But it's good to be back. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 2, if you would pray for me, we'll start reading verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Amen. I want to preach on an encounter with Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you. God, I thank you for the privilege to be in your house this morning. Father, I thank you for the songs of Zion we've heard. Father, thank you for the encouragement of the testimonies we've heard. Father, I pray now that you just bless your word. Father, help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. And Father, may you be lifted up, Lord, before we leave here, as you already have, Father. May we leave better than when we came, Father. And Lord, I pray that we hear from heaven, God. Father, help us all to have an encounter with Jesus this morning. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Save that soul nearest to hell. Amen. Those who had an encounter with Jesus were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, Herod, the Jews, the rich young ruler, Pilate, Caiaphas, and these wise men. And these wise men, they went and they worshiped before the feet of Jesus. And being warned in a dream, after that encounter with Jesus, they returned another way. And I just want to say, when you have an encounter with Jesus, amen, let me just say, you will return a different way, amen. Hallelujah. When you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, you won't be the same, amen. You'll leave another way. You'll leave changed by God Almighty, amen. An encounter with Jesus Christ changed these men. They returned to their country another way, amen. I got saved 19 years ago as a 7-year-old boy. My father told me about a man named Jesus Christ. Amen. And it changed my life, Brother Jesse. It changed my way. Amen. I haven't been the same since that day. Amen. And when I witness to people, I say, I can lay my head down on my pillow each night knowing that heaven is my home. Amen. Why? Because of what happened 19 years ago for me. Amen. I got saved. I got born again. He came into my life and gave me something worth living for, brother. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I got saved. It changed me. It changed me. Amen. Here are 3 points to which we all can be encouraged, inspired by those who had a divine encounter with Jesus. There ain't nobody like Jesus. Amen. There ain't nobody to compare him to. Yeah. Amen. In the field of music, there's Beethoven and Bach. We compare men like that. We compare, for example, the Manrazy family and the Clarks. We compare bluegrass and him. Some of y'all like bluegrass. Yeah. Amen. If there's been any grass in heaven, it's going to be blue. Amen. 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 In military, we compare men like Napoleon and Alexander the Great. We compare men like Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee. In literature, we compare men like Shakespeare and Longfellow. In the field of art, we compare men like Michelangelo and Van Gogh. In pulpitry, we compare men like Spurgeon and Moody and Lee and Sunday. In hymns, we compare men like Charles Wesley and Fanny Crosby. She was a woman. In inventions, we compare men like Ben Franklin and Thomas Edison. And space exploratory, we compare men like Armstrong and Shepard. And in politics, we compare men like and women like Trump and Hillary, right? But when it comes to Jesus, there is nobody, there is no one to compare him to, amen. There's no religious leader. You can't compare him to Muhammad. You can't compare him to Buddha. You can't compare him to Confucius. You can't compare him to Joseph Smith. You can't compare him to the Pope. You can be any one of these and never meet the creator of the religion. But you can never be a true, born again child of God unless you meet the main man, amen. You can't be a child of God without meeting Jesus. You can be a Buddhist and never meet Buddha. You can be an Islamist and never meet Islam, amen. You can be a Catholic and never meet the Pope, but you can't be a born again child of God and never meet Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. When I met him, amen, he changed my life. Point one, he changed my way. He changed my way. He can change your way. They came seeking and they left satisfied. Amen. Let me tell you something. He and he alone was born of a virgin. He and he alone lived a virtuous life, died a vicarious death, had a victorious resurrection. He and he alone shall come in a visible return. Amen. Amen. You know, the Bible says a crown is promised to them that love his appearing. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder, Brother Jesse, if that appearing is just when he comes. But I've often wondered, man, is that appearing every day when he appears? Are you meeting with Jesus every day? Do you love his appearing? Yeah. Amen. Are you meeting with Jesus today? Yeah. Did you have an encounter with him this morning? There's a crown promised for those that love his appearing. Did he appear to you today? Amen. Did he appear to you this morning while you were praying? Amen. There's a crown for them that love his appearing. He's matchless in character. Yeah.
masterly in his teaching, marvelous in his influence, mighty in his works, miraculous in his power, merciful in his grace. He's a greater priest than Aaron. He's a greater commander than Joshua. He's a greater prophet than Elijah. He's a greater father than Abraham. Amen. He's a greater king than David. He's a greater philosopher than Solomon. And he's a greater redeemer than Boaz. Amen. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. He can change your way. They came seeking and left satisfied. Amen. If you can recall to the day you got saved, amen, you were there seeking. Did you leave satisfied? Amen. 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 Pastor Iman used to say, get under the spout where the water comes out. Amen. Yeah. Never forgot that. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. We'd been up working on the roof, and he'd pull out a Coke and say, Jeremiah, I love this stuff. I was going to ask me to go get to it. Be like, no, hey, Jeremiah. He go, I love this stuff. Amen. I've yet to preach a message on I love this stuff. Amen. I love Jesus Christ. Amen. And what he did for me. Amen. Amen. He can change your way. And you can leave satisfied. It was supernatural intervention. Looking in verse 9. It says, when they departed, there was a star they saw in the east that went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When you got saved, amen, it was nothing no man could do for you, amen. It was a supernatural intervention. Amen. They came wondering who this child was. They came wondering, who is this child we've read about in the prophecies? They came wondering. You know what they left? They left worshiping. They came wondering, man. They were like, man, oh, who's the child of God? And they met him. They came wondering, and they left. Man, praise God. Hallelujah. We've met the child, the promised one, amen. They came wondering, amen, and they left worshiping. Thank God. Some of you may be wondering, can my sins be washed away? Some of you may be wondering, can I be changed? Can my way be changed? I've been a sinner for so long. I was at work 2 months ago, and we just hired on a new employee. The first day, his first day of work, they said, Jeremiah, we're sticking with you. My dispatcher said, don't get him upset. Don't make him mad. Just, you know. Be nice to him. So we were up on a roof, and amen, I started witnessing to him. Couldn't help myself. I just happened to be on a roof. I just had to tell him about the Lord. Amen. He was right there. He's tattoos from the neck down. Tattoos from the neck down. His name's Anthony, 36 years old. Start talking to him. He's like, man, you know. And he started opening up. He's like, yeah, I got a lot of sin, got a lot of mistakes I've made. And amen, I started telling him about Jesus Christ. Told him how all his sins could be washed away. Told him how he could truly feel satisfied. He's been looking for something, trying to be happy, and he's tried everything. And he can't, and he was opening up and said, I'm not really happy. And it was there on the roof there in Syracuse, New York. He bowed his head and trusted Jesus as his Savior, amen. And he came wondering, and he left worshiping, amen. Yeah, he said, man, I said, how do you feel? He said, man, I feel happy. I feel happy. Amen. 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 They came with treasures and left with truth. Amen. They laid all the treasures down at Jesus' feet, and they left knowing in their heart, this truly is the Son of God. They left there with the truth that it came true. Amen. Thank God. No wonder, amen, they left worshiping. They got a hold of the truth. Yeah. They got a hold of the truth. An encounter with Jesus will change your way. It will change your way. A few years ago, a group of distinguished historians amused themselves by writing a book called If, or History Rewritten. Among these historians were Van Loo, Moros, and Belloc, and Chesterton, and Ludwig. Some of the ifs which they discussed were these. If Lee had not lost the Battle of Gettysburg, if Moors in Spain had won, if the Dutch had kept New Amsterdam, if Louis the 16th had had an atom of firmness,
If Booth had missed Lincoln, if Napoleon had escaped to America, the attempt to reconstruct the past on the ground of these, and to imagine what might have been indeed an interesting intellectual enterprise, but there are no ifs in history. And I tell you what, if Christ had not come by your way, amen, what if Christ never died on the cross? Where would you be today? If Pastor Rima never got saved them 30, 40, 50 years ago, amen, however long ago it might be, amen, where would he be? Where would his children be? Had Christ not saved some of y'all's parents, where would you be? Amen. There are no ifs in history. But thank God Jesus came. Amen. Thank God he did die. Thank God he did come and he changed your way. He changed your way. And you can thank him today. An encounter with Jesus will change your way. Number two, it will cleanse your walk. Turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. It will change your way. He will change your way. I thank God he will. Mark chapter 5, look it down in verse 25. It says, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in and pressed behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about to the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. You know what I see here? I see her, she came with issues, amen, and she left with his virtue, amen. Amen. I tell you what, you bring your issues to Jesus Christ, you'll leave with a touch of Jesus, amen. You'll leave, amen, with his virtue, amen, flowing through you if you but lay down your issues at the feet of Jesus Christ. You'll leave with some of his virtue. That's what happened to this lady. She left, and she had that plague for a long time. You know what else I see? She came plagued, and she left with peace. Amen. She came plagued. You know, if you come to Jesus with the plague of sin on you, amen, I tell you what, the day I came to Jesus plagued by sin, I left it at the feet of Jesus, and I got up off my knees with tears running down my face, and I left there with the peace in my soul. Amen. I came with the plague of sin, and I got up with the peace that only God can give you. No man can give you peace. Amen. No religion can give you peace. No denomination can give you peace. Oh, but only Jesus, the Lamb of God, can give you peace. Amen. She came trembling, and look, and she told all the truth. Verse 33. She came trembling. She was trembling, and then she told all the truth. Not some of the truth. Amen. If you're going to leave with that peace, if you got something you're holding back, you got to come down to an old-fashioned altar, amen, and tell him all the truth. You got to lay it all down at the altar. And then she was able to get up, but she didn't get up with that peace till she told him all the truth. Are you lying to God this morning? What are you holding back from God? Amen. He wants to know the truth. He wants to know the truth. You may be hiding the truth from your pastor. You might be hiding the truth from your wife or your husband. But let me tell you something. You need to come down and get right with God and tell him all the truth. Don't deceive yourself. Amen. Amen. She came trembling and told all the truth. He can cleanse your walk. You know, for some of our testimonies, there might be some here that have a very dirty walk, had a dirty walk. But man, Jesus came by your way. And he cleansed your walk. Amen. You have a pretty, I've heard Jack Patterson say this. I've heard this before. No matter how dirty your past may be, your future can be spotless in Christ. Amen. Some of y'all might have had a very dirty past. But man, when you had that encounter
with Jesus Christ, not only did he change your way, amen, he cleansed your walk. Yep. Amen. Now you can walk a clean walk. Now you can walk a pure walk. Yep. Not have to deal with the guilt and shame of your past. Why? Because you've been born again. Because you've been cleansed. You've been changed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I hope this can be an encouragement to you this morning by having an encounter with Jesus Christ. He can change your way. He can cleanse your walk. A soap manufacturer who was an unbeliever walked along the road one day with the preacher of the gospel. Said the soap manufacturer, "The gospel you preach has not done much good, for there is still a lot of wickedness in the world and a lot of people too." The preacher made no reply until they passed a dirty little child making mud pies in the gutter. Seizing his opportunity, the preacher said, "Soap hasn't done much good in the world, I see, for there is still much dirt and many dirty people about." "Oh, well," said the manufacturer, "soap is only useful when it's applied." "Exactly," said the preacher. "So it is with the gospel that we proclaim." Amen. You want to cleanse your walk, you got to get a hold of the word. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, by the washing of the water of the word, the Bible says, "Wherewithal shall a young man," what? "Cleanse his way." By what? "Taking heed thereto according to" what? "Thy word." Amen. You want to get cleaned up? You, maybe you're a born-again Christian. You ain't walking right. You're dealing with dirty things. But you want to get cleaned up, amen. You get a hold of the Word of God. You let the Word of God percolate in your soul. Amen. You read it thoroughly. And I tell you what, he'll start cleansing your walk. He'll cleanse you. You want to clean up your act? Get in God's Word, amen. Amen. Knowledge. By reading God's Word, you can get the knowledge about God, but by obeying it, you get knowledge of God. Amen. Amen. You get that relationship. Amen. See, there's a problem with men where all they got, their knowledge, but never apply it.
Yep.
Amen. They never develop that relationship with Jesus Christ. Yep. See, you can have all the knowledge in the world, know everything about the Bible, but never apply it.
Yep.
And you'll know the Bible, but you won't know the God of the Bible. Amen. That's why it's important to obey his word. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And I'm paraphrasing, but he says, "And if you keep my commandments, then my Father loveth him and manifests himself to him." But if you're not keeping his commandments, you may know a lot about his commandments, but if you're not keeping them, then God ain't going to manifest himself to you. Amen. He's going to manifest himself to the ones that are proving their love by their obedience. You might have been raised in church. Amen. You know all about the Bible, but you ain't applying it. And that's why God won't manifest himself to you. That's why you don't know the God of the Bible, because you've just been hanging off the coattails of your parents your whole life. And you've never developed a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. You may know about the Bible, but you don't know the God of the Bible.
Amen.
Are you obeying his word? Is he able to cleanse your walk this morning?
Amen.
An encounter with Jesus will change your way. It will cleanse your walk. And point three, it will calm your worries. Matthew chapter 14. Turn to Matthew 14. We'll start reading verse 22. Matthew 14, verse 22, it says this, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he was sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me.
And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You know, what I see here is when you are in fear, he is so near. Amen. Amen. I don't know what you're fearing this morning. I don't know the struggles, the circumstances of life. You know, you may feel like you're not going to make ends meet. You may feel like, you know, you just don't have enough money in the bank account to pay these certain bills. I'm going to lose my car. I'm going to lose my home. But have you brought it to the Lord? Amen. Have you put it before the Lord's feet? Say, what do you mean? The Bible says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Amen. Have you laid it before his feet? And maybe he's just wanting, sometimes God has to get us to a point in our life where we need a miracle. And he's testing you to see who you're going to turn to. Are you going to turn to your mother? Are you going to turn to your father, your brother, your sister? Amen. Your doctor, your lawyer? Amen. Who are you going to turn to? But when you are in fear, he is so near. You know, the Bible says he will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. What are you fearing this morning? What are you fearing? Maybe there's a circumstance at work. Maybe you're fearing telling somebody about Jesus Christ. Maybe there's somebody the Lord's laid on your heart to tell about Jesus Christ that you have not told them about Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. You ask God to give you strength. Amen. You ask him to give you the words that you need. I tell you what, he will give you a supernatural boldness. Amen. He will give you everything you need to do his will. He will equip you. Amen. When you are in fear, he is so near. You know what else I see in this passage is when you can't see the light of day, he is there. Amen. When your dark hours of life, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what the next chapter of your life holds. Amen. But when you can't see the light of day, God is light. Amen. God created light. He is light. And when you can't see the light of day, guess who was there? It was Jesus Christ who created light. He created the world. He was there when you can't see the light of day. And you might be at a dark hour in your life this morning. You might feel like no one sees you. No one cares about you. But I tell you what, when they felt like no one was there for them, when they felt like there was nowhere Jesus Christ, there was no Jesus Christ, there was nobody there to help them through whatever it was they were going through, guess who showed up? Jesus Christ. Amen. And then Peter jumped out of the boat because he was so excited, and he started walking on water, amen. Some of y'all might feel like you're walking on water right now, amen. But don't get too bold, amen. Very next thing, Peter saw what's happening around him. He started sinking, but Jesus was there. Jesus was there. So no matter how dark your night may be, no matter what chapter of life you're in right now, you know, me and my wife, we're raising 3 kids. That's not a dark chapter for me, but I tell you what, it's a lot for us to raise 3 kids. You know, he raised 5 kids. Yeah. Amen. I had 4 brothers, no sisters. My parents went through hell. Amen. I'll tell you what, it's a joy raising my kids, but I'll tell you what, that's not a dark hour in my life. It's hard, but God is there to help us. You know, my dad has been paralyzed now since 2014. He went through a dark hour in his life. He's listening this morning through Skype. He's listening this morning through Skype. And you know what? He has led 3 people to the Lord as a quadriplegic for just this year, just from last year to this year, let alone he's led 6, 7 others to the Lord when he was back at the VA in Syracuse. He can't move his legs. He can't get up and walk to the bathroom or walk to the TV room. He can't get up and do the things, run and kick a soccer ball or throw a football. His hands are fused like this. He can't even open his hands. But God allowed the injury to give him one hand that had a pointy finger like this so that when I call him on Skype, he can take that one pointy finger and click accept, and he can watch a church service. And he gave him his voice to be able to tell others about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. He's still being used by the Lord. And his dark hour and his dark chapter of his life, He is still serving God. Even, no matter how dark it may get, no matter how hard it may get, he's still pressing forward. He's still going on. But you have your legs. You have your hands. You have the ability to go forth and tell others about Jesus. What are you doing this morning?
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
Amen. In his darkest hour, Jesus was there for him. That's why he's still holding firm to him. He can calm your worries when you can't see light. And when you have nowhere else to go, that's when Jesus will show. That's when Jesus will show. Amen. One dark night, a man slipped and rolled down a steep place. He stopped the descent by grasping a bush on the hillside, which left him dangling in the air. His attempt to climb up the hill was in vain. Below was darkness. He strained every muscle as he kept a tight grip on the bush. Finally, his strength was exhausted. In despair, he let go and dropped just 6 inches.
Yeah.
Many of us worry and struggle with our nerves at high tension when all the time we only need to let go and drop into the everlasting arms just beneath us.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. What are you fearing this morning that God can't handle?
Yeah.
What are you fearing that his loving arms cannot grasp you and get you through whatever it is you're going through?
Yeah.
Amen. He's able to calm your fears.
Yeah.
He's changed your way. If you've been saved, he's cleansed your walk. Has he calmed your fears this morning? Has he changed your way? If you've never had an encounter with Jesus Christ, he can be your first encounter today. He can change your way. Amen. He can cleanse your walk. You might have been living in a life of sin. You have no knowledge, or you don't even know what being saved or born again is. You don't know what it is to feel clean from all your sin. You don't know what it's like. I tell you what, that is the best feeling there is, Brother Michael. The best feeling is knowing that all my sin is under the blood.
Yeah.
Amen. They were singing that song earlier, amen.
Yeah.
There ain't no better feeling than to know any wrong thing you've ever done has been forgiven by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. There ain't no better feeling, amen. We sing that song. There ain't nothing better than Jesus. Hey, that's right, amen. There ain't nothing better than Jesus Christ. There ain't nothing better than him. Nothing better, amen.
Yeah.
I thank God for him. Amen. He can change your way, cleanse your walk, calm your worries. Brother Jesse, as you come.
Yeah.
Amen. If everybody would stand with their heads bowed, eyes closed. If you need to come, you come. If you've never had an encounter with Jesus Christ, you come. Or if you just want some encouragement that he can calm your worries. Whatever you're fearing, whatever it is you're going through, God does care. And he loves you. And he wants you to know that your worries can be dealt with by Jesus Christ. He can help you through anything. Pastor Ryan.